Okay, if you have a Bible tonight, turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. And I don't know what kind of message this is going to be, but I'll say a couple things, and maybe a couple things will help you. At least get your focus straight. And that'd be the big thing, man. Get focused in. And not on this world, that's for sure. Get focused in on that which is to come. Isaiah chapter 64, down verse number 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Don't you feel that way? Boy, wouldn't that be the day? Ooh. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down to thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in the ways, thy ways, behold, thou art wrought. For we have sinned in those as continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay. Thou, our potter, we are all the work of thy hand. I call your attention to verse number 4. The Bible says, For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I want to ask you now to wash me clean the precious blood of Jesus. And God, I want to be a vessel that can minister the Spirit, Lord. And God, I want to ask you to give utterance and give unction and give a thrill, Lord, and a blessing. And God, that I could say it right. God, that I could say it right. And God, help me, Lord. I pray you'd help me. And Lord, I'm just wanting to run away, Lord, and maybe that's what I need to do. I don't know. But God, I pray that the tempo would be of you and the spirit be of you. And Lord, that I get my flesh out of the way. And God, just ask now that when it's done, Lord, you'd be pleased in the congregation. They'd be ministered to, dealt with, whatever is needed. And myself as well. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we've got the best to look forward to. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we're just about ready to get out of here. And Lord, it sure is good to know that there's not a whole lot really matters here. There's not a lot of significance or important to things here, Lord, that we'd get focused in on your soon return and that which is beyond. God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I don't know if you realize that what I'm talking about here, but I want to try to somehow talk to you about the big picture you haven't seen. And it's just going to be a big picture. It's not going to be detailed, though I'm going to be talking of details. But it's the big picture of that which is ahead. In verse number 4, he says, For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now to you and I are looking at, we're looking at the right side of things. In this passage here, looking at somebody that's there looking on to the second advent and millennium, especially the millennium. They're looking at even earthly Jerusalem, the curse lifted off this earth. And they think, man, this is just phenomenal. I mean, this world has not seen such a time as that. And it's true. You and I, when we think of this verse of Scripture here, our mind runs right on to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. And Paul, he virtually quoted this verse here. And you and I, we think of it in relation to New Jerusalem. And you and I think, you know, the big picture you have not seen. I want to talk to you tonight about the second advent. I want to talk to you about the millennium. I want to talk to you about New Jerusalem. Then I don't want you to forget, but before that, somebody doesn't get saved and get raptured out with us. What they've got to look forward to is certainly not the best. It's absolutely the worst. And likewise, it as well is something that this world has not seen. They certainly are not dreaming of it. They don't even have the foggiest idea of what's out there. They don't have answers. They got the blinders on, and they're getting more blind every day. For you and I, we're looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, gets us out of here. And you and I looking forward to the time whenever we come back with the Lord Jesus at the second advent. You and I looking forward to the millennium, spend 1,000 years here, our ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I looking for eternity in New Jerusalem. You and I looking for the best. And the Bible says, the ear hasn't heard, the eye hasn't seen, what God prepared for them that wait for him. Now pertaining to the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ, not heard. Now you know when Jesus Christ comes back second time, talking about after the rapture, talking about 7 years later, and Jesus Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation. I'm talking about the Lord coming back, and you know they have not heard. They've heard a lot of noise. They're going to hear more noise all the time. Noise troubles me. I don't like noise. Noise bothers me. I'm sitting, you know, in my mom's house or my house over there on 44th Street, and sometimes I am telling you, the noise that you hear going down that street is just unreal. And you know, sometime last year, whenever I was down for about a month with a bad leg there, and sitting in the living room, you know, reading my Bible, and I'm telling you that, you know, every day at 2:30, whenever the schools were let out, the noise that went by that house, I thought, I didn't know I lived on a street like this, man. I mean, deliver me from this street, man. This is a terrible thing. And you just hear, I mean, the noise is just wild. I think, man, I can't hardly stand in the house with the windows closed, everything closed. I can't even imagine somebody being in a car with noise like that. And you know, this world, they're gearing up for noise. And they're gearing up for noise. They don't have any idea what they're really gearing up for, but they're gearing up for it. And the noise they got now is comparable to what you read about in Exodus chapter number 32. And they call it music. It's not music. It's just noise. And it's the sound of war. It doesn't do them any good. It just causes, creates problems and troubles. But they don't have any idea what, if they want noise, they're going to get noise. And the noise at the second advent is going to be like unto a rumble they have never heard before. The Bible calls it the sound of the going atop the mulberry trees in 2 Samuel chapter number 5. And the Bible likens it in Isaiah chapter 28 unto a threshing instrument. And the Bible calls it a very strange act the Lord performs upon this earth. But this world don't have any idea what they're getting into and what's coming. But at the second advent, the noise that they hear is going to be like a locomotive about 150 times over. When this church was being built, I was working out here one day, and they were having chopper practice. Now, I'm not talking about chopsticks. I'm talking about, you know, the choppers. And they were landed across the field over there, and they were the Army choppers. I don't know why they're practicing. I've never seen them since. But I thought, man, you couldn't hardly hear yourself talk. Two or three of them, you know, over the top of your head. And, man, everything just shook in you. I thought, man, what do we get into? What kind of property do we buy? Man, we'll never even be able to have church. They pull this kind of thing off. What are we going to do? And we've never had since. But I'll tell you what, that was some noise, man. I didn't like that noise. But if you can imagine what they're getting into, I mean, they're getting something far greater than that. I mean, they're getting into a thing whereby the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 18, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Trodden down by it. It'll be like a bunch of people right in the middle of a railroad tracks, and a train's coming on down, the train's coming hard, and they are just standing there. They think, we're going to stop this train, and that train's going to run right over top of them. I mean, just grind them to smithereens. And that's picture of the second advent when Jesus Christ comes back. The Bible calls it verse number 21, same chapter, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. And the Bible says it'll come to pass upon the whole earth. Again, in verse number 27 and 28, what takes place there says the pitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the pitches are beaten out the staff and the cumin with the rod. 28, red corn is bruised because you'll not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. And this has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful and constant and excellent in working. At the second advent, second coming of Jesus Christ, when he comes back, they're going to feel like they got hit with a locomotive train. They're going to hear the sound of a going top of mulberry trees. Whenever they take a look around, they're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ come back. And they're going to see what appears to be a threshing instrument, and it'll do a job as described in Daniel chapter number 2. I am telling you, it's going to grind them up. It's going to grind them to powder. And they like noise. They want to rumble. They're going to find out what a rumble is all about. You and I are going to be on the right side of things. You and I come back to the armies of heaven, and we come back with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. They like noise. They haven't heard. They don't know what noise is all about. They don't know what it's really, really and truly all about. And of course, not only the rumble there, but the roar. And Psalm 29, the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And there's nothing stands in his way. The Lord Jesus Christ can speak a word. He can divide anything he wants to do. He can divide flames of fire. He can take the big old cedars 11 in there and split those babies right down the middle and do anything he wants to do. That roar is going to be heard 60 miles away. Everything in its path is going to be barren. That'll be the roar of all time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. The Bible says he comes back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. When he comes back, you can be sure he will be as a roaring lion. And the roaring lion that precedes him is going to look very small alongside of what the Lord Jesus Christ has when he comes back, second advent. Again, in Isaiah chapter 64 there, something else that has not been heard. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be an unusual thing. You talk to the Israelite, and the Israelite, they're hung up on their own righteousness. The great problem, the major problem that Israel has, they go about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves in the righteousness of God. And Christ is in the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And Israel cannot get in their thick skulls that their very best does not impress the Lord. And they need a Savior, they need somebody to redeem them. They got an idea that, you know, we're not too bad. We are very, very religious people. We're not like the heathen are out there. And we are the religious people of all time. And they think they're going to get by. But there's going to come a time whenever even Israel itself, and you know, we're out witnessing now in a neighborhood where there are Jewish people mixed in probably one out of three, and it gets stronger as we move from street to street. But in a neighborhood like that, I will tell you it is mighty hard to convince that Jew that he's lost and that he does not have any hope and that his righteousness is as filthy rags. And there will come a time whenever what this world has not heard, they're going to hear. And it'll be Israel saying, we are all an unclean thing and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and all our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know, you don't think you'd ever hear something like that. And, of course, in verse number 8, again, you don't think you'd ever hear something like that. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hand. You never think you'd ever hear Israel talking that way? You never think that the Jew who supposedly knows so much, and the Jew, he's the brains of the world, he's the scientist, and he's the doctor, and he's the lawyer. You think you'd never hear him talking that way? But there'll be a time right before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back whenever unusual voice that is heard of Israel itself, and that is that we are no good, and the best that we've got to offer is no good, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and you are our Father, and we are the clay. You never dream you'd ever hear Israel talking that way, but you know the illustration in the Bible is Job. And the book of Job, you know, Job, he defended himself against Bildad, and it didn't make a difference who it was, his three friends, if either one come to him, Elihu on top of it, and Job would defend himself. And they'd say, you know, well, you know, you got this problem, Job. And he said, I don't have this problem. And he said, no one argue with you, I'll argue with God. And he felt like, you know, finally, you know, my arguments, my righteousness, I hold fast. And he would determine that nobody's going to shake me. I'm absolutely on top of things. I'm going to stay on top of things. And maybe you think I've got a problem, but you got about five times more problems than what I've got. And Job, I mean, nobody could convince him that he was an unrighteous man and he needed the Lord. But the Lord stepped in, and the Lord stepped in, I mean, Job's mouth was shut. And when Job's mouth opened up again, in Job chapter 40 and verse number 4, he said, behold, I am vile. And in chapter 42 and verse number 6, he said, I abhor myself. And he said, I repent in dust and ashes. And you never ever dream that you'd see Israel as a humble and as a repentant people. And you never think that you'd ever find Israel crying out, Lord, you're our Father, and you're our Potter, and God, you're everything, and we're nobody, and our best is no good. But that's what this world has not heard, and that's what this world will hear right at the second advent when Jesus Christ comes back. Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard that. They have not heard the rumble, they have not heard the roar, and they have not heard the cry of the repentant nation, but they'll hear that at the second coming. But the Bible says they're not only what they have not heard. It says, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Hadn't seen what? In verse number 1, the Bible says the heavens are going to split. And it says, Lord, said, if it just happened now, Lord, if you just do it now, God, if you just come down now, Lord, if you just split that heaven, if you just rend the heavens, God, that's what we're looking for. In verse number 3, again, he's looking for the Lord to come on down. And when he does, that sky is going to split like it's never split before. Lord Jesus Christ is going to be come back with the armies of heaven. Lord Jesus Christ is going to be come back in a sight that I guess this world, if they're impressed with the wrong things of this world. You know, they look at things and they think, man, that impresses me. And they think, well, that's the most impressive thing I've ever seen. And man, that's an impressive sight. But I'll tell you what, they've never seen anything that will make an impression like the sky being split. And the Lord Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven coming back and riding upon the white horses there, and they're going to see a sight like they have never seen before. I have not seen that before. That's something brand new that will take place at the second advent. I think the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, and he's gonna be on display from heaven to heaven. I mean, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 19, he'll ride the circuit of heaven. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, nowadays you look up and you see something here for a little while, and, you know, but I mean, it's going to be the Lord, and he will be seen. He will be seen upon the face of the earth. The armies of heaven come back with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back in power and great glory. So there's a lot they haven't seen. They haven't heard. They haven't seen much that takes place at the second advent when Jesus Christ comes back. In Isaiah chapter 33, if you take your Bibles, you'll find that again, the streams, there's something they never seen before as far as the streams. Isaiah chapter 33, and it talks about devouring fire. You've got to make the distinction there. In chapter 33 and verse number 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Second advent. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? That has to do with the devil's hell. So you got to make the distinction there. One has to do with that which takes place upon the earth, and the other one has to do with that which takes place inside the earth in a devil's hell. And the Bible speaks about devouring fire, and it's as though something there that they've never seen before. Resolve. In Isaiah chapter 34 and verse number 8, the Bible says it's the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, the land thereof shall become burning pitch. That's an amazing thing this world's never seen, but when Jesus Christ comes back, believe me, I mean, there's nobody going to stop him. The fire is going to go through, it devours, it doesn't matter, king's palaces, doesn't matter what it is, but that fire, I mean, even the water and even the streams become burning pitch when Jesus Christ comes back the second time. In Isaiah chapter 64, the verses that you read there, in verse number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back in flaming fire, talks about the mountains. And you can't believe that, you know, mountains, you think, well, you move a little bit of a mountain and maybe push a part of it aside or do something with it. But the Bible says it's going to flow down at thy presence. It's as though whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, that which surrounds the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, nobody even dare get near the Lord Jesus Christ, but the mountains themselves absolutely melt and flow down at thy presence. He talks about the waters boiling. You read about in Isaiah chapter 33 and 34 there, in verse number 2. He talks about a melting fire in verse number 2. In verse number 3, whenever he comes down again the second time, the Bible says the mountains flow down at thy presence. So that which the world has never seen, they never dreamed of, they don't have the wildest, foggiest idea in the world. They don't have any idea what actually takes place. It'll be the supernatural demonstration of the glory and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back the second time. The sky's going to split. I mean, from heaven across the skies of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven do their riding. The sight is an extremely impressive sight. When the Lord Jesus Christ hits down on this earth here, the streams then begin to boil and they begin to burn, and the land becomes burning pitch there, and it shall not be quenched, and the mountains themselves begin to melt and begin to flow down. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he stands on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah chapter 14, it splits, and one side goes one way and one side goes another way, and a valley in between. There's a sight which they have never seen. When the Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse number 4, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." In relation to the second advent, that verse is definitely true. As to what they have not heard, they are going to hear, some good and some not good. And what they have not seen, they don't have any idea what's going to be like when Jesus Christ comes back. Our God is a supernatural God, and our God can, as a supernatural God, give supernatural deliverance, which he does to Israel at the second coming. And the Bible says, "Unto those that wait, prepared for those, and for him that wait for him." Now, in relation to the millennium as well, there's much they have not heard, and the passage go a lot of ways. In relation to the millennium, there's a lot that they have not heard, and a lot that they have not seen. In verse number 6, the Bible says, again, look at it, and you have not heard that. But on the other side of that, right immediately on the other side of that, you're looking at a whole lot of singing. You're looking at a whole lot of shouting. You're looking at a whole lot of rejoicing. You're looking at a happy times like this world has not known. Now, what makes things, you know, on the good, I guess, you know, sometimes you have it too good too long, you don't really appreciate it. But if you get down, you get dragging around, and all of a sudden things are turned, and boy, I tell you what, you appreciate, you know, the Lord, you appreciate singing, you appreciate shouting, you appreciate somebody having victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, and of course he's going to be setting up his throne at Jerusalem, they're going to be singing, they're going to come before his presence with singing. They're going to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a happy time. And I'll tell you what I like. I like the verse back in Isaiah chapter 35, and it says, "The tongue of the dumb shall sing." That is somebody, maybe they couldn't talk, and not somebody who could talk but couldn't carry a tune, but somebody who couldn't even talk. Somebody, it's not that they now are able to utter, a few words, but it'd be somebody who can not only utter words, but they can absolutely carry a tune. And the Bible says that they're going to sing. Won't that be the day? I mean, most unexpectedly, somebody you never ever dreamed could sing and give praise unto the Lord. They shall come in, open their mouth, and begin to sing, and sing a melody with grace and melody in their hearts to the Lord. And it's going to be appreciated. It's going to be enjoyed. That's something this world has not heard, whereas the tongue of the dumb is able to sing. I've seen fellows that they were, some of them deaf and some of them dumb, and I've seen those fellows and the noises that they utter were it'd be something like that. But if you can imagine someone like that actually singing and singing praises unto our God, that'll be the picture in the millennium. The world never heard that. They're going to hear it one day. We'll hear it one day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, sets up his kingdom on this earth. Again, they're going to be rejoicing. Their rejoicing is going to be so phenomenal that the Bible speaks about the desert singing. Not only the dumb sing, but the desert sings. In Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 1. In verse number 1 says, the wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. And down in verse number 6, it talks about the lame man leaping as a hart. The tongue of the dumb sing. Talks about other things taken out and streams in the desert. So the best is ahead. And of course, one day the curse will be lifted off this earth. The Bible speaks about people clapping their hands and even the trees themselves doing some singing, and it'll be in the right key. What has never been heard before, I mean, without ever having a minor key, everything being right dead on, and the ring just being phenomenal, that is what will be heard when people sing, when the dumb begin to sing, when the trees begin to sing, when the desert begins to rejoice. That's what takes place at the second coming and beyond when Jesus Christ comes back. That which the world has not heard. There's much that this world perhaps has been exposed to, but let me tell you something, when it comes to teaching of the Word of God, in the millennium, they will be exposed to that which they have never heard. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to prove him with hard questions, and I don't blame her for going to him. If a man can gather together 3,000 proverbs, he hasn't been asleep, that's for sure. And he's had his eyes open, and he's stood back, and he's weighed, and he's measured, and he's sort of, seen how things went. 3,000, that's a whole lot of, short, pithy, wise, potent sayings. And Solomon, he'd gathered together 3,000 proverbs. And so I don't blame her for coming to him. But she came to him, and the Bible says she had heard so much about him, the fame him spread abroad. There's something about it. Whenever, the right thing's going on, the word just gets around. And the fame spread abroad. And so she comes to prove Solomon with hard questions. And the Bible says there wasn't anything that she asked him that was not told her. Any question that came before King Solomon, he was able to give an answer unto her. And of course, at that point in 2 Chronicles chapter number 9, he is in type the picture of God the Father. But if you can imagine her going before him and the hard questions and the hard sayings, putting them out before him, answer, answer, answer. And the Bible says she walks away and she's so amazed. She says, the half hath not been told. You and I, we've been exposed to something like that. Dr. Upman probably has the most outstanding thing this world has ever seen. His 5-second answer to any question with no limitations whatsoever. Most fellows will not allow you to ask any question. He just opens her up, just let her fly. And some of these guys, John's been around, Dennis been around, different fellows have been around. I've been around a couple of times myself. And question, question, question. And I am telling you what, in 5 seconds, that's a phenomenal thing. But let me tell you something. If he's capable of that, can you imagine how much more capable the Lord Jesus Christ would be? Down in Pensacola, when we went to school down there, you had guys like Elmore and Brother Jim Moore come through. And those guys come through, and they were not guys who had had their heads stuck in the sand, but they were guys that they had something going. And there'd be times when he'd teach something to us, and they'd say, well, I need to ask a question about this. And he'd say, well, the answer is found here. And they'd say, but that doesn't quite solve it. He said, then check this, this, and this. And then 4 things were said and done, this, this, and this. A fellow come from Pensacola Christian School over there one time, and he was a teacher in the school, and he came over just to see what was going on. And the fellow came to see what was going on, and he thought, well, we're gonna stop the good doctor here. And he began, dropping out the questions, and his questions got answered. But he wouldn't let up. Some people, they got questions because they want to know, and some people, they got questions because they want everybody to see them, and they want everybody to know how much they know and how much time they spent in the Bible. And this guy was one of those kind of guys. He just kind of wanted to draw all the attention to himself, and he wanted to see if he could hang the doc up somewhere along the line. And one Saturday night, I seen in one of those Bible studies there, the fellow put out a question, well, how do you know that's so? And Brother Pete just stopped, drew a breath, and said, you know that's so because. And you know that's so because. And you know that's so because this and this. And if you miss this, you miss this and this. And if you miss this, you miss this, this and this. And went on for 30 minutes. For 30 minutes, and the guy never opened his mouth. And when it was all said and done, he never, ever uttered a word. And you know what that is? That's a tremendous thing. That's a tremendous ministry, that somebody should have that kind of capability to field any question, handle any question, no matter what kind of question it is, handle anything, and come through with a Bible answer in 5 or 10 seconds. That is one amazing thing. But if you can imagine the one who is the personification of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and if the one who is the personification, the Word of God himself, John chapter number 1, if you can imagine the Lord Jesus Christ teaching the Word of God, and he does that, and he does it to such an extent that the Word of God is magnified above all his name, it'll be something this world has never heard before. The truth is going to be the major thing when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And believe me, that is getting more remote all the time. Of this world, they want to be lied to. They don't want the truth. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it'll be the truth. That'll be the issue. In the book of Zechariah, in chapter 8 and verse number 3, it says, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, millennium, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. In verse number 16 of Zechariah chapter 8, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. It'll be a situation whereby truth finally does prevail. And the Bible says that which will not be taught, they're not going to learn war anymore. That's all going to be history, but it'll be a type of thing this world has not heard before. In the millennium, the singing, the rejoicing, the trees, the people, the desert, the tongue of the dumb, and then the teaching of the Word of God by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is, my friend, that which this world has not heard, ever heard before. And the Bible says here in chapter 64, in verse number 4, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what is prepared for him that waiteth for thee. Not seen. They have not seen the desert blossom as a rose. They have not seen streams in the desert. They have not seen the sun become 7 times brighter than what it is right now, and the moon become as bright as the light of the sun. They have not seen the hills because of all that. And because the early and latter rain in 1 month's time, and the sun being that bright, they have not seen, like the Bible says in Joel chapter 3, where the crops are in such abundance that the hills actually change color. And they change color because the new wine just drops down, I mean just oozing out and squashing each other and oozing down the hills. This world has never seen anything quite like it. And so for you and I, the best is ahead. For you and I, as we consider the big picture, Second Advent, tremendous. Haven't heard, haven't seen, but boy, it's going to be good. We consider the millennium, haven't heard, haven't seen, but boy, it's sure going to be good to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ and rule and reign from Jerusalem. When I think of the Lord Jesus Christ come back and that which has not been seen, they have not seen the lame leapers in heart. Now, I don't know if you ever been out in the field and seen how they go, but I am telling you that that in itself is a sight. I mean, if you can see... one time I was in a location down in Harrison County, and Bud and I had said, just stay right here because they're going to be coming through. And if you hear 3 shots, Gary and I are going to be moving deer down there, and you hear 3 shots, just keep your eyes open. They're going to be coming through. And he said, you know, they come through, and you're going to get your shot. I'll guarantee you get your shot. And, well, I got a shot, but I guess I got buck fever, shot too quick, didn't know what to do. You know, a dum-dum's a dum-dum, city slicker. He proves he's a city slicker time and time again. I hear 3 shots, and I begin looking all of a sudden. I mean, a herd of deer. Man, they come up over the hill there, and they're coming right for me, and I just go boom, boom, boom. And they all stop like that, and they start sticking their nose up and turn around. Away they go, and they're gone. Bud Knight, come on. Got one? No, I didn't get one. Just stay there and just look, and you're going, I'll get you another shot. I was just looking, you know, and all of a sudden I seen 5 deer. Oh, I saw 4 deer coming down the road. And I thought, they're either got to come down and come right through that crossing, got a big old high bank. And so they got to come down and come right through that crossing. And man, at this time I'm going to wait and I'm going to get me a shot. Or they go back the other way. So they're coming down the road, you know, and they're looking and nibbling, you know. And finally they were just about to get out of my sight, and the hill was going to hide them, and I was just going to be looking for them to be coming through. And boy, I'm going to take my pick of four. And all of a sudden, I seen one deer just go, I mean, here's about a four-foot bank plus the fence. And I seen that deer just like effortless, just go bloop. I mean, just nothing to it. Up it went. And the next one, I mean, it looked like the Blue Angels in formation. Next one, I mean, this one goes up. Next one just goes bloop. Nothing to it. I'm looking for the third one. All of a sudden, I saw a black one. I mean, I saw one. I said, what is it, man? And that thing, man, just, I mean, the other one's up in the air like that. And bloop, up it goes. And next thing you know, I mean, it's up in the air. And there goes number four. And there goes number five. I mean, so easy and so effortless. I mean, just absolutely amazing. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says when Jesus Christ comes back the second time in Isaiah chapter 35, the Bible says that there's going to be strength returned unto somebody, and somebody who could not stand, they're going to be standing. Somebody who could not walk, they're going to be walking. Somebody who could not run, they're going to be running. They're going to have strength. And the Bible says the lame shall leap as a hart. You know what it is? It's a thing whereby something the world has never seen before. They'll see it when Jesus Christ comes back the second time. They're going to see strength shot in somebody, and they're going to see him move on like they have never moved before. Abraham looked for a city, and you can understand why. He looked for a city in Isaiah chapter 54. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And in chapter 54 and verse number 11, earthly Jerusalem in the millennium, pretty much what he was looking for, never quite, you know, saw it, but one day he will. In verse number 11 says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. You know what that is? That's earthly Jerusalem in the millennium. And I can understand why Abraham looking for a city. I can understand why he'd be looking for the Mount Zion. I can understand why he'd be looking for Mount Zion in all of its splendor. I can imagine what you and I see in the millennium. This world has not seen. Abraham did not. He looked for a city, and he looked and he looked and he looked. He went out not knowing where he went. He looked and did not see the city. And one day you and I see even earthly Jerusalem, and it'll be a beautiful situation. Is Mount Zion the size of the north, the city of the great king. Not only New Jerusalem, but earthly Jerusalem going to be a sight to behold. Again, when I think of the millennium, I think it'll be a sight this world hasn't seen more recently, and they won't have seen for a while. That'll be the servants coming in, and they'll be coming. Zechariah chapter 14, and they'll be doing what the Lord Jesus Christ said to do. They'll be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, and that'll be a must, or upon their land there shall be no rain. But, you know, on the other side of things, millennium, I guess that which you and I really, really, I mean, tremendously love is Isaiah 65 and verse number 20. In Isaiah 65 and verse number 20, the Bible says there shall be no more thence an infant of days. And you say, yes, yes, man, that's what I'm looking for. Everybody worries, you know, and somebody about ready to bear a child, and Anne Marie, you know, we're worried, it's going to be okay. Man, she's 9 days overdue. Is everything okay? Yeah, I guess everything's okay. And she's just about, you know, and boy, you know, you're wondering, you're worrying, you're hoping for a healthy child. And, you know, a lot of times they are, but sometimes they are not. And sometimes they don't make it very long. I heard a very sad thing, and I didn't want to hear. A young fellow, he and his wife come to this church for a little while, and then shifted up north to the church up there, lived up closer up that way, and went up there, and his wife got in a family way, and they did something, checked something out, and said, things are not good, and they're not even close to good. And, you know, the world says, you know, get rid of it. And they said, no, we're not going to get rid of it. And they're just trusting God, and they're just waiting, and they're just praying. And most of the time, in a picture like that, the child doesn't even live very long if she makes the delivery. You say, well, you're not connected with those people anymore. That's my brother, and that's my sister. And if it wasn't my brother and if it wasn't my sister, I still wouldn't want to hear it. That just tears you up. And the Bible says here, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And you and I, this world doesn't know anything about that. This world doesn't know about a time like that. And it's because the curse will be lifted. And the curse is lifted. Let me tell you something. There are going to be things that they have not heard. And there are going to be things that they have not seen. This world has not seen it. And there are not going to be any sorrow. The sorrow will be very, very extremely minimal in that day and time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and dwells at Jerusalem. And the curse is lifted off the earth. About a week ago, they had a big old golf tournament down in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia. And this is the, you know, this is snob haven. This is the territory that, you know, where all the snobs flying on their jets and their corporate jets, you know, and this is a place where, you know, Joe Blow, he can't get a ticket to even come close to the place. Town folks can't even get a ticket. And just all, you know, the big shots from all around the country, they come on in there. And I read where one of the fellows had been over there practicing for the tournament. And he said, I've been here for 3 days and I haven't even seen a weed yet. And you say, wow, that's just tremendous. Well, let me tell you something. You and I are going to be in a place where we'll be there and say, man, I've been here for 900 years. I haven't even seen a weed yet. I mean, you talk about the best is ahead. And the child of God, the big picture now is things that you haven't heard and things you haven't seen. Second Advent will be on the right side of it. Be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll be tremendous. The millennium will be on the right side of that. That'll be tremendous. And this thing, things the world has not heard and has not seen, you and I participate in that. Again, I think a new Jerusalem, and that's for you and I. And the new Jerusalem, it'll be singing like we have not heard. Say, it's good tonight. It's good tonight. A week ago or 2 weeks ago, we didn't hear singing like that. I mean, you know, people kind of dragging around, and all of a sudden comes Easter time and sunshine, and I don't know what, getting ready for Brother Danny Castle to come on and preach at you. And some reason or other, all of a sudden, things kind of move on up about a little bit more, and things finally get going. But I'll tell you something, my friend, it'll not be like what you hear on the other side in New Jerusalem. And you're going to have everybody over there. They're going to be singing praises unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to be singing with a loud voice. And you and I mean, to tell you what it'll be like as though, man, what's the matter with you people? He said, that's good singing tonight. It'll be like, by comparison to me, what's wrong with you? You're dragging around. Boy, you sure need Brother Danny Castle, man. You all need revive, man. Well, you're dragging around. And in comparison, that's what it'll be like. But it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll be getting glory and more glory and praise and honor and glory and blessing and all that. And worthy is the Lamb that was slain. This world has not heard that before. I mean, it's as though that when they come in and just come into song service, even like we had tonight, the average person drops in out of the world, and they feel like as though your people over there, they sure are enthusiastic. Sometimes they tell me that. And it's as though that, man, I feel like I got caught in a whirlwind. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But imagine what it'd be like on the other side. New Jerusalem, I mean, Jesus Christ getting all the glory, and Jesus Christ getting all the honor, and they're crying out, holy, 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 and they've been around the Lord Jesus Christ, and they haven't found any fault, and they haven't found any sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, they still give them acclamation and say, Lord Jesus Christ, you're holy. Brother, I'll tell you what, that'll be that which I want to hear, and that which we will hear on the other side of New Jerusalem. When I think of that which we have not seen as well, New Jerusalem, you've never seen a city that, not even Kenny, he's traveled this country. You have not seen a city that would stretch from Buffalo, New York, all the way to Miami, one city. You have not seen, somebody says, have you seen Atlanta? Atlanta, can you imagine Atlanta? I mean, from one end of Atlanta to the other, 60 miles. 60 miles, I think to myself. And there, you know what, in Atlanta, there are five counties in Atlanta. I tell you what, I've seen Atlanta. I've seen all I want of Atlanta. I'm not used to six lanes one way, and you can't do anything without somebody getting on your case. What are you doing? And if you go this way, and no matter what you do, you're wrong. Man, I tell you what, I thought I nearly had a nervous breakdown until I got through Atlanta. And I wasn't even going the 60-mile way. I was going about the 20-mile way. I was trying to find one of the suburbs, part of it or whatever, and get myself over to Norwood or someplace. I don't know where it was. But when I got over there, I thought, oh, man, I'll tell you what. Now, that's just about too much. But can you imagine a city 1,200 miles, and I mean stretching all the way from the coast all the way out to Denver, Colorado, one city. I mean, this world never seen anything like that. No matter what they do, join hand to hand and city to city and field to field and house to house. It doesn't matter. Nothing like that. And then the beauty of it, and the streets of it, and the foundations of it, and the walls of it, and the gates of it. I mean, everything combined, this world has not seen anything even comes close to what New Jerusalem is like. I mean, here's a wall of every manner of precious stone, and not just a, you know, a little bitty stuff. I'm talking about 200 feet high. I'm not talking about a pearl you wear around your neck, man. It'll take you down. I'm talking about one pearl, 60, 90 feet high, dealing with the gates of the city. I'm not talking about gold, something overlaid with gold. I'm talking about a city of gold. I'm talking about streets of gold. I'm talking about a size and a sight like this world's never seen. I'm talking about sinlessness. When you talk about New Jerusalem, the Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse number 2, it's holy. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27, nothing defiles is going to enter in. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 19, the Bible says that it's a holy city. In chapter 22 and verse number 15, it says, without, 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 outer dogs and whoremongers. Get them out, man. Outer dogs and whoremongers and murderers and liars, out they go. They don't belong in a city like that. It's going to be a sinless. And because it's sinless, it's going to be a sickless society. Imagine that. A long ways down the road, you wouldn't really need much of anything else. And then, the tree of life there, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations, and bear 12 manner of fruit, and, you know, month after month after month, I mean, you got healing going on, constant healing going on, and I believe I could handle a place like that. I don't fancy going to hospitals at all. You know, hospitals used to be in the old days, if you opened the door, you wanted to go the other way. And they've kind of veneered that now with the new chemicals they have and all the cleaning crews they have, and things have sort of altered a little bit, but I still don't fancy them. There's still something about a sick body that isn't any different than it was 45, 50 years ago. There's something about a sick body. The Bible calls it a vile body. And that old body gets sick, and that old body, it begins to have problems. That old body begins to, you can't hardly even keep an odor away from body that's sick enough. And you and I, to tell you what, I'll be glad to go to a place whereby there won't be anybody sick. There will not be any hospitals. There's not going to be anybody having any problem whatsoever. They will be healed one after another, even on a national basis. There will be healing there in New Jerusalem. That's where they go. There'll be no sickness there. I think of the sun in New Jerusalem, man, that's not even needed. Nowadays, you know, that makes all the difference in the world, but because Jesus Christ is there, there's no need of the sun, the moon, the stars, there's no need of any of that. The Lord Jesus, He's there, and His glory is all that we need to get us by. You don't have to worry about whether the light's on all day or not. My wife said, leave the lights on. You got to leave the lights on. You got to, make it, they know I'm not there. Everybody knows that Art Martin's going to be in church Sunday night at 7 o'clock. You're going to be in church on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You're going to be there Sunday. Well, they know I'm not there. I don't care if I leave my whole house lit. You think they're stupid? And, we leave it. When you leave a light on at 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening time, this time of the year, somebody goes by and says, they're not home. They went down the lake. They're gone. And, man, we're going to knock this place off. I mean, they're not stupid. But, my wife says, be sure to leave that light on. Don't turn that light on. I want that light on in the bedroom, one on the bathroom, one on the kitchen, one on the living room. and I go around thinking, man, I got to cut this electric bill down. I begin turning and flip this one off and turn the dim one on. Turn off from three down to, one. We don't need two of them. Let's just leave one on. And we go through that thing. You think I'll have to worry about that? You think you'll have to worry about your electric bill? You think you'll have to worry about light bill? You won't have to worry about a light bill. I mean, on the other side, you're going to be in New Jerusalem there, and I mean, everything's going to be dim. Everything we know to be bright will be dim by comparison and compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. Best of all, sickness is going to be missing, sin's going to be missing, and sorrow's going to be missing. There will not be up and down again. You fellows that thirst and hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll climb to the top, you'll stay to the top, you'll go to the mountaintop, and you won't even know what sorrow's all about. You'll forget about it. There won't even be tears flow anymore when the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of things, and you'll be in New Jerusalem. And the Bible says in Isaiah 64 that the ear hasn't heard the world since the beginning of the world. Men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for thee. Best is on the other side. My friend Jack, he has always given me these books that drive me crazy. Say, what are they, joke books? No, well, they sort of are. They're pretty books. I don't know where he gets them, but I mean, he gives me one, and it says Western Links. And it'll have Indian Wells, and it'll have Pebble Beach, and it'll have that place out there in Scottsdale. And man, you take a look at that stuff there, and you see somebody teeing off, and here's all cactuses and red desert down in here, and then there's such a real nice green little stretch of grass and a a putting green on the other side of it. And I mean, it's just like, it's something you can't hardly even fathom. And I said, Jack, why do you give me that stuff? I'm not going there, that's for sure. Somebody gave me a coffee cup from Camelback Inn. And it's one of those five-star jobbies. It's, you know, a big-time resort. And that's close as I'm going to get to Camelback Inn, a coffee cup somebody gave me. But I look at those things and I think, oh, man, that's terrific. Boy, wouldn't that be something, you know, stand up there and have yourself all lined up, you know. And I mean, Nicky never would hit the ball. Nicky'd get up there and he'd just, man, he'd be looking at this and 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 he'd be taking about five practice swings and then he decided to change his clubs. I ain't leaving this place. Once in a lifetime, you know. And I look at those Western links and Southern links and all that kind of stuff and I think to myself, boy, that's something I may not have ever seen and may never see it, but I'm going to see something way beyond that. New Jerusalem will be beyond Scottsdale. It'll be beyond Pebble Beach. It'll be beyond Indian Wells. It'll be beyond Palm Beach and Palm Desert and Palm Springs and West Palm and anything else Palm you got. It'll be beyond anything that this world has seen or known about. If you and I were able to go out to the resorts out in the desert in the wintertime and you and I were able to see those things, there'd be one thing would defeat it all for you, and that is that you would say, it's beautiful, it's pretty, it's as beautiful as the pictures display. Man, I just have never seen anything like it. But on the other side, you'd say, and I don't want to see anything like it. Because you would see the inklings of sin and see sin and sin. And you say, man, sin abounds everywhere. I tell you how you can find out. Whenever they have the big old tournament up here, you go up there and you watch these guys hit the ball, then you go to the practice tee and you watch these guys warm down, and boy, there, you know, you're watching, and all of a sudden you think, oh man, the last bus, it's about ready to leave. And so there's about five guys left, and you're one of five, and so man, you go ahead and go that last shuttle bus, you know, and sometimes you miss that, and when you're going through the parking lot, you see all these fancy, big time, high dollar cars pulling in, and you see all these country club gals get out, and you say, they ain't going to prayer meeting, they's a-going partying. And you say, as pretty as it is, I'll just be there for a little while and gone. I'm gone. On the other side, you and I, we've got that which we have not seen, that which we have not heard, and there'll be no sin connected with it. It'll be New Jerusalem, and the best is ahead. But I think, I think to myself, I'd like to tell you this, but between now and the second advent, you're not saved. There'll be things that you have not heard before, and you don't want to hear. Angel flying through heaven and say, oh, yeah, yeah. It'll be like whenever Jesus Christ is about to be born and the angel announced, this is a great joy unto you and all the earth. And oh, yeah, it won't be announcement of great joy, but announcement of woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. I haven't seen that, and I haven't heard that, and I don't want to see that, and I don't want to hear that. And there's more, and I mean to tell you, the picture is so sad and so dark and so bleak that I mean it'll be worse than what the noise. If you can imagine what it would be like. Ezekiel 21 probably describes it. It's like here they are, and they're beginning to rev up. They're about ready to go on into Jerusalem. They're just not sure which way the Lord's coming in, so they're using divination. And they're into witchcraft and that kind of thing, so they're using divination. And they've got to make a choice. And the armies, and the Bible talks about 200,000, Revelation chapter 9. That's a lot. And the Bible talks about shouting going on. It's as though they are ready to go in and wipe out Jerusalem and wipe out that little old nation of Israel. Like if you could imagine 200 million stacked up and ready to go and shouting her down and just ready to, go in and kill, wipe out, mop up. That's the picture right before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. That is the picture in the tribulation. And the picture is just the opposite of what We look forward to the second advent, the millennium, New Jerusalem. When I called to see how Brother Balance was doing, the word was that they're keeping him out there a lot of hours, but things at Lucasville are far worse than the media lets you know. You fellows at Deer Hunt have not treated a dead deer like they have treated the dead prisoners that they've thrown out from the compound. I say no more. It's that bad. It is lower than you would treat any animal that you ever known. You know what that is? That is a warm-up for the tribulation. When you read Ezekiel chapter number 7, you read about violence. Yeah, I don't want any more. That's enough. I don't even want to hear about it. And you keep on reading, you read violence! You think, boy, all this stuff is just the prelim, warming up. We're fixing to leave, and when we leave, and Christians are gone, and the Word of God, as we know it now, is not going to be saturating this world, and the animals are turned loose. You believe your president standing up there and saying rah-rah for the decision made in Los Angeles? That's a double jeopardy decision. Can you imagine that guy? Stick him in there. It's wild. Say, did you see the SWAT? Yeah, you saw 15 seconds or 2 seconds, 1 second. What about the other part of the 82nd film? What about the animal taking 5 and 8 cops on his back and just like a wild, insane, drugged up man? What about that? I'll show it to you. This world hasn't heard and hasn't seen what they shall see in the tribulation. Revelation chapter 16, 18, 19. We go back the other way. We're fixing to leave. If you're not right with God, you better get right with God. If you're not saved, you better get saved. You better make sure of that. If you ever made sure of it, you better do it now. That had better be sure. I'll tell you what I tried to do tonight, and I'm done. I'm not an artist. I wish I was. I said, I'm talking to you about the big picture. I wish I could put a big old picture up here and divide that thing down three, you know, and I could really, you know, put this thing out before you, but I'm not an artist. You don't need stick figures. I don't know if I can draw stick figures. I'm not an artist. I was up at Cook's Art Supply. What was you doing up there? I was buying a pen. I can write. I can't draw. I was up there, and the lady was in there, and she said, well, excuse me. And she says, I'm about done here. I said, well, that's all right. Take your time looking around. And she says, so you went to Kent State? And I said, yeah, I went to Kent. You had art? Yeah, I had art. And she says, what do you do? And he said, what kind of work do you do? And he says, well, you know, I paint and I draw and I do this. And oh, you're one of them kind. So you can do that. And I can't do that. I got to do three-dimensional. And he said, well, three-dimensional, all you do is made it sound easy. Ron Rock, you tell him, if I'm lying, three-dimensional, all you do is just take and lay it down on a piece of paper and draw that. And I've tried to show you three dimensions of that which you haven't heard or seen. Second Advent, Millennium, New Jerusalem. And for yet a little while, and he shall come, will not tarry. And soon you're going to start hearing and seeing that which you never heard or seen before. In the meantime, keep stirring. In the meantime, crank it up more. Louder. In the meantime, let the cares of the world begin to fade and slide. Get focused in. We're soon to leave. In the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible speaks about a very small remnant being saved. Israelites out of the tribulation, a very small remnant. And the Bible says, for yet a little while. Well, we'll say for yet a very little while. We're there, friends. We're there. We're about to go. Boy, wouldn't it be great if the Lord come this year. Get focused in. I've tried to give you the big picture in the three dimensions that you need to know about. Second Advent, Millennium, New Jerusalem. This world, as long as we got what we got, you sure better thank God for it. Our picture right in this church could change before next Sunday. You better enjoy every service. You better enjoy your brothers and sisters every time you come in. You better come in, try to pray about the service, and try to help that service be the right kind of service to challenge and charge somebody's battery. Things could change. We don't expect a lot. This world's not our home. We're fixing to leave. And the best is ahead for the child of God. You got it? You got the picture? Got the big picture? Hope you do. Lord, another time we're thanking you for the Word of God, and we're thanking you, Lord, for the great hope that we have. And we're thankful, Lord, that we're soon to go. And Lord, pretty time of the year, but nothing like heaven. As good as we have it, nothing like heaven. Nothing like New Jerusalem. And Lord, I've seen the people go through it, and family after family after family, Lord. And God's been so unusual, Lord. Just never been through anything quite like it. And the end isn't even in sight. But God, sure glad that you're coming soon. And I'm glad to be able to tell first one family, then another. They've lost someone who's been saved. Been able to tell them, Lord, just a little while now. Don't you ever forget, just a little while. And God, it's sure good we've got that hope. Bless your people. Lord, help them to get their eyes fixed on things above and not on things here, affection as well. And God, help them to witness with an urgency that they've never had before. Help them to realize that witnessing is urgent, as urgent as it's ever been. They're here for that purpose. And God helps to go after it and get the job done till you come back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.